Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. It's one of my favourite quotes, really insightful, from an anthropologist, not, I think, necessarily a Christian, but really pertinent to this morning's readings. The disciples, a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens, gathered, albeit fearfully, in a small room, and they're about to change the world. Not that they have any sense or expectation of this, of course. They are bemused, confused, trying to make sense of the events going on around them in Jerusalem, events that are far bigger than them, out of their control. And then Jesus shows up and scares them witless. But it is Jesus. Sorry, a few technical hitches. It is Jesus that's there, the man they've grown to know and love. And he's just appeared amongst them again, the man they let down, the man they watched die from a distance. It's Jesus. But it's a transformed Jesus. It's Jesus plus. It's not simply the old Jesus resuscitated. It's not just new breath in the old bones. It's Jesus is resurrected, recreated. He's living, he's breathing, he's fish eating, and then some. You see, the resurrection accounts are full of episodes of people encountering the risen Jesus, but not immediately recognizing him. He's a bit different somehow. But as the fear goes, or the tears dry, or a gesture, familiar gesture is made, suddenly they intimately recognize him again. It is Jesus that remade, rebooted, resurrected. And the reading from the letter to Corinthians, I think that's the earliest of the resurrection accounts written by Paul. And in it, Paul describes Jesus as the first fruit of the resurrection, the first fruit of the kingdom of God. He has been transformed, remade. We will be too. I'm just noticing one of your banners. I think, is that banner there? Is that got the quote from Revelation on? Could someone just read that out? I should have taken a note. Behold, I make all things new. What Jesus says in the book of Revelation. I don't make all new things, but I make all things new. I take creation and I remake it again. The kingdom is our destination too. In 1 John 3 verse 2, beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. But what we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Jesus, the first fruits of the kingdom of God, and we're in that time between Jesus being resurrected and the coming of the kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, and we're in that in-between time. We're there, and yet we're not yet there. But we will be. And our task as Christians is to bear witness to this transformation, to bear witness to the coming kingdom, to show the world Jesus and the impact that an encounter of him, with him, can have on our lives and in our world, in our communities, and in the promise that we too will be remade. A small group of thoughtful, committed citizens, ignited by an experience of the risen Christ, fueled by the Holy Spirit, will be the change in our world. I'm really privileged to talk to you this morning on behalf of Christian Aid. We are one way, just one way, that the church in the UK and Ireland is bearing witness to the transforming love of God. And we do that in many of the world's poorest communities. And in the run-up to Christian Aid Week, which starts on May the 10th this year, we're sharing stories from one of our partner organisations in Ethiopia. And last month, at the beginning of March, I was privileged to host a guy called Teklin. And Teklin is one of our programme managers in Ethiopia. And he shared some amazing stories of transformation. And one of them was of a woman called Addie. Addie is in her 50s. She is a widow. In her community, she's at the bottom of the pile. She has 8 children, and she is impoverished. She can earn a few pennies now and again, working as a day labourer for others in her community. Now, she's a member of a pastoralist society, the Barena, and their life, as you can see, revolves around cattle. But the cows are far more than just food. They convey status. And the more cows that someone has, the more higher they are regarded, the more highly they are regarded in their community, the more influential their voice is. The bigger the herd, the bigger the man. And as you might expect, women do not have that much of a say in things in that community. The women become the property of their menfolk, of their clan that they marry into. Women don't normally get to have livestock. That's the property of their husband. But actually, when women do get livestock, then they do get a voice. And Addie is a widow. So Christian Aid, working through our partner organisation, Hundi, has given Addie the money to buy herself a cow. And they took her to the local cattle market, and they helped her to choose a prime specimen, and they brought it with her back to the village. Addie said, "The day I received my cow, I felt like a conquering hero returning from war. Yes! Whoa, what a feeling that must be." And rightly so, because that cow has transformed Addie's life. She now has milk for her children. She has butter for her hair. Yeah, strange. That's what I've got in. She makes and sells this butter, and she has now a regular income. She can buy food for her kids. But Hundi didn't just cough up for the cow and then leave her to it. They provided training as well. And with other women in her community, they've helped them form a self-help group. And they teach the women to read and write, and they teach them basic business skills. And they form a little savings group, and they pool their scant pennies that they manage to save together from the proceeds of selling the butter. And they make loans to each other. And Addie has borrowed money and has started up a shop in her village. And in her shop, she trades coffee, tobacco, butter, and other food, which she buys from a regional market and then sells on to her community. Hundi has worked with Addie and a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens, and they are transforming their world. And interestingly, Teklin is part of the same wider society as Addie, the Oromo people. And over dinner, I was asking Teklin what he was particularly proud of as an Ethiopian, and he explained he was Oromo. And I asked him, what are you proud of about your culture? What's great about it? And he said what he was most proud of was their generosity to each other, their care for the poor in their communities. If somebody is a widow, then they do share with them. if somebody is poor, then people will lend them cows, a male and a female. Stuff happens, apparently, and then there's baby cows, and they start their own mini herd, and they have the wherewithal for their own future, and then when that herd has grown a bit, they repay the loan to the person that gave them, if they can. And that's really, that's an entrenched part of their tradition, their society. But actually, poverty has got so bad in their society that they no longer have enough cattle spare to do that. So they're really strapped. They are unable to help the poorest in their community. And so what Hundi's work does is simply just resources them to restart this simple tradition, allowing them to help each other once again. So it's really simple, but really transformational. They're changing their world. Thinking back to the gospel reading, it's not only Jesus who is transformed at Easter. It's the disciples' understanding that is also transformed. Jesus teaches them straight away. And actually, I wonder if probably he doesn't tell them anything new. He probably doesn't tell them anything he hasn't told them before. But their minds are opened by the resurrected Jesus. This new state of affairs that they're suddenly experiencing brings everything into sharp focus. From their history, from their national history as the Jews, from Jesus' teachings, they had all the source material that they needed. But they didn't make sense of it in the way that now they could through this experience of the resurrected Jesus. And as their understanding changed, again, their world changes. They changed their world. The opening chapters of the book of Acts show us the impact that they had, the way they organized themselves, the way they lived, the way they worshipped, the way they impacted their community. They witnessed to the kingdom of God. When we encounter Jesus, it transforms us. And then we go out in the power of the Spirit to transform the world. And for Addie and her community, the transformation of the local women is having a wider effect too. Because as they meet together and support each other in the self-help groups, as in the picture, they actually talk as well, and they talk about the things that impact their lives, what makes life bearable, what makes life worth living, and also the things that hold them back. And there are some really pressing issues for women in that society, and they include female genital mutilation. They include child marriage, or child marriage of girls, and they include excessive drinking, particularly by men. Child marriage, girls as young as 12 or 13, being married off by their parents, and they get taken out of education, and they've effectively become sort of domestic slaves, really, to the clan they marry into, to that family. They're unable to finish their education, to finish growing, and they're still children. Excessive drinking leads to violence against women, and that really undermines the fabric of that society, that community. But because they gather together and speak, and because they have livestock, they have a voice they can use. And so they can go along to community meetings, and they can be listened to. They work with the traditional tribal council, and they have got laws changed. They have changed laws to end female genital mutilation. They have changed the law to raise the minimum marriage age to 18. They have changed laws to ban excessive drinking, together with their newfound voice. And they are also in a position to help ensure these laws are kept to enforce them, as it were, to support each other when things go wrong. They had the source material within themselves and within their tradition, and yet they've been able to bring it together and change their society in a new way. They're not just now complaining and commentating about what's going on. they've shown up and they've made a difference. That's a real witness to what the transforming power of what happens when Jesus shows up, when the church says, this is what transformation looks like. Hey guys, we can work with you. We can show you this. This is what the kingdom will be like. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. And I guess we need to add to that, if we're ignited by a meeting with the risen Lord, if we're fueled by the Spirit. Thank you here at All Saints in Swanage and across the churches of Swanage. You are long-standing supporters of Christian Aid, particularly in Christian Aid Week. You are part of this story of transformation through your prayers, through your actions, through your giving and raising of money. Together, we are part of this. Here, raising money, me as staff, with Teclin working overseas, with Hundi and all our partners. Together, we are part of this work of transformation. So, as I mentioned earlier, Christian Aid Week is coming up, and we have the traditional house-to-house envelope collections, and Judy Edgington, who sadly is on holiday this week, is organising for All Saints, and we do have information and sign-up sheets at the sign-up corner at the back. There's also a chance to collect in co-op. Please, if you can't do that, please pray for the work of Christian Aid, particularly during Christian Aid Week. Get involved as you are able, as you can. But a key issue facing Addy, the Barena community, the people in Ethiopia in general, is the slowly changing climate. Grazing land for their cows, for their livestock, is becoming more and more scarce. Watering holes are drying up. There is increasing competition between various communities, various tribes, for access to those resources. It's causing conflict. Climate change is a key driver in their long-term increase in poverty in that land that's been building up for decades. So Christian Aid also asks, alongside many others, if you would be inspired by Addy and the change that her and her womenfolk have made in their community, if you will use your voice for change. We've heard about the election coming up, and that as Christians we're being asked to show up, not just to vote, not just to shout at our politicians, but to join in the conversation ourselves. It is easy to be cynical about politics, but hope is the polar opposite of cynicism. Now, the issue of climate change, realistically, it's not going to feature prominently in the election run-up. If you get a chance, if there's time, perhaps you could whisper in Andrew's ear and see if a question about climate change and about the candidate's commitment to taking leadership to tackle climate change could feature in the hustings, because then at least the candidates will hear that here is a concern amongst ordinary folk, as well as the stuff that gets the more prominent media coverage. But we hope to make an impact immediately after the election as well, because working as part of the Climate Coalition, alongside all kinds of agencies, many other Christian ones, such as Tear Fund, we're going to organise a mass lobby of Parliament, of all the new MPs, well, all the MPs, whether they're new or not. Wednesday the 17th of June in central London at Westminster, we're going to lobby every single MP. We're going to bring constituents, please, from every single constituency across the land, and we're going to lobby every single MP in Parliament at the same time. We're going to get them all out of Parliament. We're going to have a long line of people winding around Westminster, and we're going to bring you your MP and give you a chance to share with your MP the things that you love, that we love, that are affected by climate change. Skiing, chocolate, the coastline. Those things that, well, skiing's being affected now, I think. Chocolate will be affected, the coastline here. Share the stories, the desperate stories that are really affecting people around the world. We ask our 700 partner organisations, what are the drivers for poverty in your context, in your situation? Almost all of them, almost all of those 700 people in 40 different countries say that climate change is right now a fact in making people poor, in keeping people poor. It's a live issue, folks. We need to share it. We need to tell our MPs that. We need for them to show leadership in the next parliament, to show leadership in all the decisions that are being made globally in the coming half a year, a really key one. We need to give them a mandate for leadership. So it promises to be a great day out. Hopefully one or two of you will be able to come. If not, again, please do pray for the people that do come. Please do communicate. Have a conversation with your new MP, whoever it turns out to be, and share with them. Let's not shout from the sidelines, but let's have that conversation. When we're transforming our world, when we're thinking about a coming kingdom, we're thinking about really completeness. And Addy said, when I got my cow, I was called Gutu by the community. And that means complete. That's a real thing to witness, to the completion of creation. And it can be the really small things that make the difference. The small people gathering together. So I guess I want to finish where I start. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. It's the only thing that ever has.